For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Access tonight, the only two things that you two candy asses should concern yourself with is this. Is your role? Know it. Your mouth? Shut it. And if you do that, then The Rock, the great one, Darren Damtease, you will smell what The Rock is cooking.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Authority Podcast. That is Cody Kutzer coming through the ear holes right now. Find me on Twitter at CKutzerFF. Joined as always by the TFA OG, Kevin Steele. Find him on Twitter at FantasyRath13. Finally through all the ranks, we're bringing back the guest. Tonight we're bringing out the nuts, flopping them on the table, and we're bringing in Robbie Jeffries to help us do that. We need a third set of nuts on this table here. Just a big old nut party. Everybody getting the cashew bowl out. Everyone just picking at the nuts. Find him on Twitter. Find at NFL Robbie. You can find his work over at the Dynasty Happy Hour. We got SFB in the air. We have trades being requested. Fellas, how are we doing?
What an intro. I am honored to be the third pair of nuts on the podcast. That is something I've never been introduced by, but it's quite the honor. Gentlemen, we are in quite the time. Scott Fishbowl, bold takes, nuts on the table. I mean, what more could you want in your fantasy lives? And yes, I said fantasy lives.
I don't know. I mean, with that one, geez, just nuts everywhere. We're just dropping nuts and yeah. I mean, Cody's bringing it tonight. Bringing the fire.
Fire roasting nuts tonight. Roasting.
So can we talk about first? Can we just talk about this really quickly? Not to move the conversation along, but what in the actual fuck is a 28-year-old running back who has, what, 8 games of really good production under his belt requesting a trade for? Like, you have no leverage, sir. You've been cut from 5 or 6 teams. Can we talk about this?
Instead,
gotta get paid, right?
Yeah, but what leverage do you have? I mean, okay. So, what are you gonna do? So trade you? Like, no, they're just gonna cut you. You're not worth their time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's nuts to me. Like, it'd be different if he was like 25. You know, maybe he's an undrafted guy. He kind of came out of nowhere. He's 28.
Yep. And this is Shanahan, right? Like, what's Shanahan gonna do with his next running back? Do the exact same thing. This is not a Mostert equation. This is a Shanahan gets added to the equation.
Is there anywhere you guys can think of off the top of your head? We didn't have this on the show sheet or anything, but is there anywhere you can think of if he did get traded that you would be – I think he's being overdrafted as is, but is there anywhere that he would go where you might be like, oh, okay, if he falls like another like 2 rounds, I still might be as interested? Or is it basically the Shanahan system, and if he goes outside of it, you're just completely throwing him to the wayside?
Yeah, man, I don't think there's many spots, right? We've filled up with this draft class, and the guys that are still hanging around, the Carlos Hydes that are still hanging around. I don't think there's going to be any place that he could go where I'm like, you know what, this is a better situation than running with Kyle Shanahan as his 1A, at worst 1B, and that type of offense. So, no, I think it's only downhill from here.
100%. Like, I thought people were, to be quite frank, fucking ridiculous for taking him anyways in the fourth round. I mean, what are you doing? I don't know. Like, I never understood that anyways, the people that were taking that high. I couldn't figure out. I kept thinking, like, the ADP was broken or something like that, or it was a glitch in the system.
Recency bias at its finest.
Yeah, because, like, he was certainly not worth that, right? And, like, that's why I've been saying this entire time. Tevin Coleman was the player to take here in the ninth round. And, no, there's not a team he could go to that I would even be remotely excited about him going to, because, I mean, it's – we're almost August now, right? Everything's pretty much, you know, we pretty much have an idea. There's no, like, great landing spot that he could somehow end up in. He would end up in another committee somewhere where there would be zero excitement behind him. So, no, I don't know. I just thought it was ridiculous. Like, I couldn't believe it when I read it today. I'm like, what? This man is asking for a trade? Like, hey, my hat's off to him, though. Mad respect to have speaking of nuts on the table, to have that kind of nuts to sit there and request something like that from somebody who's never done anything in the league.
We have the Emmy Award winner rocking with us in the chat right now, rocking live, Carl Jr., our man Berger from Kamikaze fame. He is also not on Team Mustard.
That's a sweep then. If Berg, three-time Emmy winner, is not on Team Mustard, I think that's a sweep onto the next thing.
That seals the deal, does it not? Well, let's just jump right into this. Let's loosen up those belts, drop the pants, and just flop them on down. Let's talk some bold takes for the 2020 season. Robbie, you are the guest. We are going to give you the floor first. Hit us with one of your takes and back it up if you would.
Now, before I get into this deliciousness, I must say that this is a warning, and this is more of a thought of concern for you guys. There has been quite a bit of nuts on the table talk in the past few episodes, and I think if you guys get to a point where you're just flopping these suckers out left and right, I mean, we're going to get to a point where this is just – I mean, imagine you walk into a room and it's just every 5 minutes. I mean, it loses its appeal, man. We have to be very particular on these. So this is going to be that episode where we're just not – we've thought these out. We're going to be particular. So this is a little fair warning here. They're going to be a little spicy. So first one is our guy Bobby Woods, Bobby mm-hmm. Trees, as some people refer to him, Bobby mm-hmm. Forrest, as he might be known after this year, will be a top six wide receiver in PPR scoring. Now, there's been a lot of, you know, quiet momentum build with Bobby Woods. Like before, he's always going late. You never hear Bobby Woods come up before, you know, sixth, seventh round. He's always kind of a back end guy, Jarvis Landry type of guy. And then all of a sudden, you know, the last 2 years after getting 130 targets in the Rams offense, people are starting to realize, oh, this guy can ball a little bit. And I don't know, after just getting two touchdowns last year, the only thing he really needs to change is upping those touchdowns and doing the math. If he just gets six touchdowns from last year, he jumps from wide receiver 14 to wide receiver 8. I mean, just getting four more touchdowns. So, I mean, that's how close he is to being here. So maybe it's not as spicy as I'm making it sound, but Cooks is gone. He's gotten 130 targets the past 2 years, only had 15 games last year. So, you know, if he gets the 16 in, you know, I see that 130 targets continuing. So, that's nuts on the table number one, top six wide receiver for Bobby Woods.
I like that. I like that. That's some spice to that one. And you're right. I think we throw the nuts on the table out too much, right? Like, we don't want to lose this luster, right? Because then it just becomes like, oh, we're just floozies, right? We're just throwing them around everywhere.
We're
like
just floozies.
without cares in the world, right? So, you know, we should be diligent in how the nuts on the table takes come. So you're right. I agree with that. You reeled us back in on that one.
Although I will say, whenever I'm throwing them out, this you can look but you can't touch. So I'm not a floozy. You can admire them.
You can listen to them.
You can glance at them from afar.
Hear the thud in the distance.
Well, yeah.
I just don't want this podcast to be for the streets. You know, we're not about that live. So
my mom didn't raise me for the streets, man.
Kat, right. what you got?
So I thought long and hard about this, because you know I didn't want to go back to the well of some of the stuff that we've talked about. So I'm bringing fresh nuts on the table, if you will. I'm going Darius Geis as a top 10 running back this year, right? I don't think that's spicy, but I think for some people he is. I mean, he's only a sixth round pick, I believe, right now, which I think is ridiculous that people have forgotten how good Darius Geis actually is. And he has not been given the opportunity to spread his wings, but I think he's going to rise from the ashes like a phoenix this year. And he's certainly the best running back they have there. Yes, they brought in Antonio Gibson, but I feel like that he is somebody that is going to utilize much more as a gadget-type player, at least year one, where they're going to kind of use him all over the place, where I think Darius Geis can come in. And, you know, last year he only – in his five games he played, he only received 36.9% of the opportunities, only averaged 8.4 carries per game, to basically 10 touches per game with two targets per game that he got. I think that raises significantly. I think this is what the first offseason since his rookie year that he comes in healthy, because he's not hurt. He did get hurt at the end of last year with that MCL, but MCLs, you get over that pretty quickly. So I like Darius Geis a lot, and if he's still going in the sixth round, I think that is an absolute steal.
Yeah, I mean, talk about that, and then just look at AP. If they start to fade him out, if I mean, there hasn't been too many talks of retirement, but, you know, I don't see him being that bell cow that they had last year when Geis went out. Gibson's going to have some of that receiving work, but yeah, dude, Geis, if it's the big if, right? If he stays healthy, the 5.8 yards per carry last year. I know the sample size is a little small, but he's always produced well. The offensive line has been underrated. I know Trent Williams has left town, but yeah, that's definitely a spicy but believable.
Yeah, when he's been able to stay healthy, he's definitely shown flashes. The AP thing, I'm super interested in how they're going to use Antonio Gibson. For me personally, think he can be a gadget plus. You know what I mean? I can see him having standalone value from the receiving game, and then if Geis goes down, I'd be interested to see how many carries he gets. But I digress. I'm going to go with another running back who I also believe is going to have an RB1 season, and that is going to be the return of David Johnson. I think he's currently – he's at least being ranked, I believe, at like RB22. I think his ADP is somewhere in that same area. Kev, you had the tweet about him not too long ago that, you know, kind of made everyone seem split. But here's the case for David Johnson. One, the most important thing, Carlos Hyde, the Jag of all Jags, had 1,000 yards last year with the Houston Texans behind an offensive line that I think Football Outsiders had them 21st in adjusted line yards. So it's not like they had this great offensive line that was just opening up massive holes for Hyde. So that first and foremost, I think even if David Johnson isn't, you know, the DJ of yesteryear, if Carlos Hyde can put up 1,000 yards in this offense, I think David Johnson can do that too. And half PPR, I think Hyde was RB23, and full PPR, he was RB26. And that was because he had no passing game usage. Duke Johnson, I think, was top 9 in routes run last year. I think he was like 3rd on the Texans in targets as well. So if David Johnson can get 70% of Duke's receiving role. And honestly, I think that there is an outside chance that they might end up having to move Duke into like a slot role just as a strict receiver anyway, with the walking rehab unit, as Kev has dubbed them, that receiving group in Houston. So if David Johnson can be involved in the passing game, he doesn't have to get the 80 catches he had. What was that? His second year, I believe, with Arizona. He doesn't have to get anything close to there. He basically, to be an RB1, you need around like 30 catches. David Johnson can absolutely do that. He's more dynamic than Hyde is. We saw what Hyde did last year. They're going to be playing from behind. There's going to be plenty of targets to go around. And if any of those receivers go down, that's just going to open up more opportunity for David Johnson. So I think we see him slide into that back end of the RB1 conversation, and he will be an RB1 at year's end.
Yeah, it's interesting because you mentioned moving Duke into the slot. They do have a need for slot wide receivers, don't they? They only have Will Fuller, Stills, Cooks. Yeah, isn't that like the toughest team to project on what's going to happen there? Like, you could tell me any one of these guys is going to be the leading wide receiver, or anybody's going to get more than 65, 70 targets, and I could say, yeah, you're probably right. Like, I couldn't tell you if it's going to be Stills, Duke Johnson, David Johnson. Like, who's going to be the number one, and let's just take the number two or number three?
I think it's 100% Will Fuller. Like, I think Will Fuller has top 10 upside. Like, I think it's a little bit ridiculous where he's going as well. I know he's another guy that hasn't been able to stay healthy, so that's certainly something to take into consideration whenever you're looking at him. But, I mean, when he...
Did you lose Kev too?
Yep.
What?
Okay. You cut out for a second, then all of a sudden it went to mute.
The take was probably too hot, and so like I singed the microphone. I had to cool it down a little bit,
we lost you right after you were about to tell us why Will Fuller is going to stay healthy this year.
Well, he just is. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
That's probably what did it. The microphone. we can't have this.
Shut this down. Shut it down.
Darius Geis is going to stay healthy and win Will Fuller. You asked.
It is 2020. Remember that. It is 2020. Where everything can happen, okay?
This is true.
So, and yeah, Eric Ebron is finally going to break out. Completely break out.
I almost put him down as one, but I went with a different tight end. But anyway, before we get off the rails, Robbie, give us your number two nuts on the table, bold call for 2020.
Yeah, man. Sticking with the running back game and maybe the veteran running back game. Now, people think this individual is older than he was, but we did on Dynasty Happy Hour, we did a little mystery name, and found out that Todd Gurley is 25 years old, and he's never played less than 13 games in a season. And if you would post that on Twitter, everyone would be like, "What? That can't be right." No. He's older than 25, and he's definitely played less than 13 games in a year. And so, yeah, that was something that I, when looking up the script, kind of found out. And so we kind of just dug into Todd Gurley a little bit more, and not sure if I mentioned this, but dove into projections this year. Don't know why I decided this was the year to dive into doing projections, pounding my head against the table. But yeah, working my way through that. And Todd Gurley, man, let's keep on hitting that button. If he stays healthy, which he has, even though he has the knee issues, he's continually played at least 13 games. I have him as a top six running back in PPR for 2020. Right now he's going as like running back 15 in most redraft leagues that I've seen. I think he's easily going to outperform that and then some. So a couple of reasons why. I mean, he's going from LA Rams offensive line, which was dreadful. If you look at their yards per carry, I don't know if anyone got 4 yards per carry. It was just dreadful. He goes to an offensive line that has a first rounder at every single spot from left tackle to right tackle. Jake Matthews is obviously kind of their anchor on that left tackle, but Chris Lindstrom out of Boston College last year was a really promising right guard. Kind of just rose up the draft boards as we got close to the draft and ended up going, I can't remember exactly, maybe in the 20s or something like that. And then he was lost like second game of the year. So never really got that camaraderie that first year. But I think with these five guys, they're just going to have a beastly line. So line improves. And I think the competition for touches is really non-existent. Ito Smith, Quadri Allison, Brian Hill, like, sure, we got some names there. You've heard of them. They did a little bit of work with Devontae Freeman last year, but none of those guys are taking away touches, right? They might spell him or whatnot, but it's not a guy that's you have to account is going to get, 100 touches or 80 carries or something like that. So that's kind of point number two. And then this team is going to have plenty of scoring opportunity. I mean, they are passing 600 times last season, and I think it was just under 600 the season before. I have to relook at that, but so they're moving the football, and at the same time they're still running quite a bit. So I got Gurley getting 220 carries and about 50 receptions in the projections, and he's all the way up there at running back six. And I got a couple more teams to go, so he might drop below that, but I think he has that upside to just crush it next year.
He's definitely been left for dead, but from weeks 1 to 16, I think in half PPR scoring anyway, he was RB 12. No, that's not, obviously it's not what you drafted. Whenever you draft Todd Gurley, you're not thinking of him as giving you just RB 12 return, but like I think everyone's basically leaving him for dead. And I, like you said, like the offensive line with that, like he should, I think just if you put McVay in that offense, you know, like it sounds like from what that offense was a couple years ago, the Rams, that is, to say that, you know, this is a much better offense with Atlanta. I don't know if it's a much better offense, but with that passing game, I think it's definitely going to open things up for Gurley in Atlanta. And also Devonta Freeman might have had the most quiet 70 target, 59 catch season from a running back last year. So, and that's kind of where Gurley's production really dropped off last year, was for whatever reason, McVay, who had, I think, targeted RBs with like 18 to 20% target share the past couple of years, they just did not get that with the Rams. So I like that call. I think it's hot, but I think it's a mild nut. It's not a habanero. not scorching over here.
You put on some Gold Bond. You fix that a little bit. Just
slap it up in that underbelly there.
A question for you guys, if I can. We just talked about David Johnson and Gurley, and I know you guys just went through the rankings, so I apologize for not knowing this, but where do you guys have those two? Do you guys like one more than the other? Are they kind of neck and neck? Where do you guys like those two?
That is a...
I caught him off guard. Pull him up.
I always have my rankings up because I just always am just like staring at them because, you know, they're mine and I created them and I know, like, man, these are going to be so great this year. I have Todd Gurley at 15. Cody has Todd Gurley at 20. David Johnson, I have at 17. Really? He has at 15.
Okay.
So, yes, I am higher on Todd Gurley than what Cody is.
Five spots. Calm down. Give us your next take.
Oh, okay. The next one is, while we're on the discussion of nuts, let's just go ahead and talk about Mr. Gardner Minshew, right? Mr. Dirk Diggler lookalike himself. Mr. Porn star, 80s porn star over here. Anyways, I think he can easily finish as a QB1 this year, right? You look at him last year, and he came out of nowhere. Not even many people were expecting much from him. Obviously, Nick Foles, they bring Nick Foles in. He lasts all of a half against the Chiefs. And then he comes in and plays 14 games of the rest of the season. And, I mean, for a guy who was, what, a six-round pick? Yeah, six-round pick out of Washington State. I mean, with no expectations whatsoever. He was fifth in the league last year in rushing yards. I feel like that there's still some room to grow here. 3,500 passing yards. Last season, and I think there's still a lot of room, or excuse me, 3,200 passing yards. Those 3,500 pass distance. I feel like there's a lot of room to grow here with this team. I feel like this defense is absolutely atrocious, and I think that is going to lead to a lot of game script of being able to throw the ball. I like the addition of Jay Gruden as the offensive coordinator to kind of take this offense another step, and I like the stack of being able to get him and probably being able to go after and get like a DJ Chark later in the draft. So, yeah, I just think Gardner Minshew, I think there's a lot to like here. I don't think he's a great actual quarterback, but I think this is kind of like one of those Blake Bortles type situation where his situation, I think, is better for him. And as, like I said, that rushing upside, he has somewhat of that little bit of that Konami code that we look for in quarterbacks. And as late as he's going right now, I think it's going to be hard for him to really I think the upside's certainly there for him to have a top 12 season.
Robbie, where do you have Minshew in your projections? Are you like Kev? Do you just have that up all the time and you stare at them because you think they're beautiful and they're going to be the best projections ever?
They are beautiful, and they at the same time are tough to look at because
you're beautiful. It's true.
Exactly, James Blunt. Let's go. I have not gotten to the AFC South. I got like 11 teams still to go. AFC South kind of on the lower end of the totem pole. So we'll get to them in due process. But I mean, you know, Gardner just has he has such a huge range of where he can go, right? Like, he has weapons. His defense sucks. Like, you can see him slinging it, you know, 570 times, 580 times, and then just by volume and depth of target with Chark in the group, you know, he can get up there. It's going to come down to his interceptions and his touchdowns for sure. that kind of sets him, gets him to that level that Kev's got him at. But yeah, he can definitely be bottom of the barrel, or he could be, you know, top. So that's one that just, you want a late guy, like Kev's saying, you want a late guy that has all that boom. That's definitely got to aim for.
Well, I mean, some of the other things you look at him too. I mean, he was fifth in deep ball completion percentage last year. He was sixth in play action completion percentage, like I said. And then he was fifth in rushing yards per game with 24.6. So, I mean, those are kind of all the markers you're kind of looking for as somebody that can really support. You know, and he, I mean, he's absolutely free, almost free right now in draft. So he's one of those guys that I would take a chance at if it doesn't work out. But like I said, I think all the opportunity is going to be there for him to really, you know, take another step this year. But again, I don't think he's a great. He's somebody that I think that'll probably get replaced after this year. But much like Blake Bortles, can still provide you with that QB1 upside.
Absolutely. Blake Bortles has shown you do not need to be a good actual quarterback to be a good fantasy quarterback.
Well, I think people forget that sometimes. People get those two things confused, like when you're talking about fantasy. It's like, I don't give a shit how good you are, how many games you win. I don't really care. All I care about is how many fantasy points you're putting up.
And wasn't it Tom Brady, was it 2 years ago, two seasons ago? Like, just was absolute trash, but people are drafting him as a quarterback one, and he was just had a quarterback 20 finish just because, well, he didn't have much for weapons. I think it was the year Edelman got hurt, but I mean, people were draft him all over the place. It's like, no, he's definitely really good, just not for fantasy.
Yep, absolutely. I have a Jaguar for our double digit darling segment coming up. A little foreshadowing to throw that out there. My next one, kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier. I almost went with Eric Ebron with like a 10 touchdown season with the Steelers, but I ended up reverting back to the old ways, going back to the brand for TFA. And that is Chris Herndon is going to return a tight end one season for us in 2020. If we go all the way back, let's go all the way back to 2018. You know, it seems so far away. Whenever Herndon was involved in that offense, whenever his usage and his production really picked up from week 6 to 16, he was tight end 6 during that span. Fast forward to 2019, he obviously had the suspension. Then he had, what was it, the hamstring injury, I believe. And then he finally got back on the field, proceeded to get injured. I think he played less than like 20 snaps or something. He had two targets and one catch on the year. In the games that Ryan fucking Griffin was active, he was almost a tight end one last year. From weeks 2 to 14, like I said, whenever Griffin was active, he was tight end 14 on the year. There are a lot of question marks with that receiving group, just with all the additions. Now if you add in all the COVID craziness and who knows what all that's going to look like. I definitely like Mims for dynasty purposes. He was one of my favorite rookies. We talked about him a bunch, but if you look at who Darnold, you know, the quote unquote chemistry, the rapport kind of thing, who is it? It's Jamison Crowder, who's going to be a 5 yard A dot kind of guy, and Chris Herndon. Like that's really it. And unless you believe for some reason that all of a sudden Adam Gase is going to look at Le'Veon Bell and treat him like Steelers Le'Veon Bell, spoiler alert, he's not. That's who it's going to be. So this year, Chris Herndon finally works his way back into the TFA fantasy heart, and he gives us a tight end one season.
Absolutely possible. I mean, just think about what it takes to be that tight end 8 to 12, or is it 7 to 12?
It is a low
like
bar.
Like 500 yards and like 4 touchdowns?
Yeah.
It is a low bar, but if you look at his ADP, I think he's like tight end like 22, 24 right now. Like in terms of redraft, you don't even have to draft him. He can be a guy you just pick up off the waiver wire. So like in terms of where he's going – maybe this isn't the nuttiest of nuts on the table. You know, maybe just a little what's a small nut? It's just a little peanut.
A macadamia nut. Maybe? Ooh, is a macadamia nut small?
Yes.
Macadamia nut cookies are fucking delicious though. we do have to say that before we disparage the small macadamia nut. It is a delicious nut. Anyway, maybe not the boldest of all calls because of the low bar, but in terms of where he's going in redraft leagues right now, jumping all the way up to a tight end one season, that would return a lot of value for your fantasy team. So Robbie, we have three listed out here for our bull calls. Give us your last one.
Okay. So this one, comes with a little caveat because it's one that I hope actually doesn't happen, because like most other people, I am pumped up for these 2020 rookie running backs. We have, you know, five or six of them that, are just going to light the world on fire, and I hope they do. But with all that said, I think Kareem Hunt, backup running back for the Cleveland Browns, will outscore all rookie running backs in PPR scoring this year. So kind of just to delve into it, Kareem Hunt's big thing is his pass catching right now. Obviously, he's talented as a runner, but with Nick Chubb in that offense, that's not his primary way of getting fantasy points, is his pass catching. Last year, he snagged 37 receptions on 44 targets, which was good for 84% of his targets were completed. So for his career, that's 82%. So this guy is having an amazing completion rate, which is just something you really don't see from anywhere else. And you take that along with now they have Kevin Stefanski coming in as head coach. Alexander Mattison got 100 carries last year with Kevin Stefanski, and he was only doing 13 games. I know Cook had a little bit of injury there, but Madison had his own, so he only played in 13 games and got 100 carries. So I definitely think Hunt gets at least 100 carries to go along with those targets. He was getting roughly, I think it was like 4 targets per game last year. So, I mean, I just think he can get up to 50 targets, 60 targets, convert most of those into receptions, and he's just going to be, you know, better than a lot of these rookies who are going to, honestly, they will take over eventually, but a lot of these rookies are going to split early down work early in the year. So I think it'll take a little bit for them to get going. And I just think with that offensive line, they got Jedrick Wills in the first round at left tackle, Jack Conklin at right tackle. They've really bolstered that line, and Kareem Hunt is poised to be a great value in drafts.
Maybe we need a little singlet bet here, Jobby. I'm going to say that Cam Akers outscores Hunt.
You are going to take my nuts on the table take and do a bet against my
far extreme. How you're pausing that sentence.
You're going to take my far extreme nuts on the table take and just take the little bit, just outscores him. I mean, yeah, it's probable. If you look at anybody, they're probably going to say Cam Akers is going to outscore him. And you know what? Even though it is my nuts on the table take, I will – Add me to this little. Have you even told the people about this singlet bet?
We have not. I
think you need to alert.
No, because Cody has not nutted up, if you will, has not sacked up, if you will, to take the bet. So he's only. I am the only one that has officially taken the bet, but he has not.
Just take my silence as an acceptance.
So what we came up with was whoever had the most of these, or whoever the loser was, if you will, whoever had the most wrong nuts on the table takes was going to have to put together a 80 dance video in a singlet dancing while wearing a singlet. So that's the bet.
Shades of Stompy on that one. But we have a special guest in the chat right now, man. We have Sal from the SFB Podathon. And we're actually in the same draft. He had the 101, and he popped in basically just to say that he's gonna crush me.
Yeah, what up, Sal? 101. Let's see, did he go Rashad Penny? Did he go did he go CMC?
I believe he did.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fish! He should have. What a fish. Should have, you know, he should have dropped his nuts on the table with Saquon. Let's be honest. Let's be honest there, okay?
Ooh. Really, really throwing it out there. So, yes, he went CMC. And then, you know what's really interesting about this year's with all the wide receivers just dropping? I feel like a lot of the 101s just raked, right? Like they just took a stud running back at their 101. And then I saw Ben Gretsch of CBS. He cleaned up with Wilson and Murray or Wilson and Watson, something like that. I'm sure Sal, you know, nabbed Julio and God knows who else. Like this 1-on-1 actually was a really good spot this year just because I think there was just a ton of talent. You guys talked about it in your, was it zero wide receiver, how you could wait 5 rounds in regular redraft and the same we saw in Scott Fishbowl. You could wait 5 rounds and end up with DJ Moore. You know, you can wait 5 rounds and end up with Mike Evans. So,
5 rounds. We are in the 7th round in my league, and I have yet to take a wide receiver. I am through 7 picks, and I have not taken one yet. No wide receiver.
You probably still have like Cooper Kupp out there or somebody, or Juju's definitely still there.
No, they're all gone. Like it's getting rough now because like Tyler, I was like, you know what, Tyler Boyd. I bet Tyler Boyd or T.Y. Hilton's going to be there. You just wait. I had a dilemma because Darius Geis, this last pick, okay, was Darius Geis was on the board. And I'm like, what is Darius Geis still doing on the board in the 7th round? Like, no, like I got to go with him. So I went ahead and took Darius Geis over a wide receiver. So I've continued to kick that can. So my team right now is Zeke, Austin Eckler, Cam Akers, and Darius Geis. And then I have my quarterbacks are Carson Wentz and Daniel Jones. And then my tight end I got was Mark Andrews.
I mean, that's solid.
I still have no tight end. And in the 6th round, I couldn't wait on receiver anymore. So I finally pulled the trigger and went with Calvin Ridley.
Who are you going with your next pick? Who are you taking with your next pick?
I don't think we made it out of the 6th round yet. It's been a relatively slow draft, and I'm not complete. Like I don't care. Like people have shifted. Like I don't mind it. I see people in like 10th, 11th, 12th round at this point. I'm just like
14th here.
Yeah, we're still chilling in the 6th, which is completely fine by me. Like Kev, we talked about it off air. I think on Monday. Like what else do you have going on? Just chill out.
Absolutely nothing.
I know. Chill out, Karen. It's going to be okay, you know?
So, yeah, kind of we interrupted Nuts on the Table for some Scott Fishbowl talk and just wanted to get it in here real quick while we're on it. You guys just came out with the zero RB, which kind of turned into bolster – or what was your – Kev, what was the word for one running
robust
back?
Robust wide receiver.
Robust running back to get one, and then you kind of fade running back for that. This draft for Tom Corson and I are co-managing for Scott Fishbowl, and it's actually really fun. Just a little plug here. I definitely recommend doing co-managing for this. It's definitely a cool experience. But we just kept on finding that these guys kept on going right before us. And I know everyone says, you know, I got sniped. It's literally happened. We agree on a guy. We've been boxing back and forth. We're like, okay, this is our guy. Boom, right before us, he gets snagged. So it happened with Mixon, happened with Josh Jacobs. And so we've continually just had these guys snagged. And so we didn't go running back until the 6th round. And so we definitely, this is for the first time in my life, have done zero running back, which kind of feels like going vegan. I've never done it, but I just feel like it's different. It's just a little off.
That's how I feel with my team right now because I am always team wide receiver. But in the Scott Fishbowl, it's made it to where it's almost like there's no point in taking a wide receiver because they've neutered them to such a point where you don't really have to take a wide receiver. So I'm not really worried about getting a wide receiver. So every time there's been a running back there that I want, I just go with the running back. And I knew I wanted to get a tight end because if it's the tight end premium aspects, I knew it was super flex. I got my quarterback. So like I'm not even really that worried about it, even though I'm going into the 8th round and still do not have a wide receiver. So, but no, I agree. Like it's definitely different because I am much more on the opposite. I usually stack, and I've noticed that. I feel like I've seen a lot of teams, especially from like a lot of analysts, going like some sort of form of zero RB where they're going wide receiver heavy. And I'm like, am I missing something here? Because like, there's no reason. Like I'm not seeing any point of going that strategy because of the fact that this. They just don't have the same side of upside that the running backs or even the tight ends do. Some of the tight ends do.
Yeah, it was a foreign concept to me. And then we looked down and we're like, well, shit, I guess we're doing zero RB. Better start Googling what the hell you're supposed to do when you go zero RB. And so I'm like, oh, great. Don't worry. TFA pod has a little zero RB. Oh, wait, they don't. They're going robust running back. They literally, we're talking about zero RB here. Actually, you should just go robust running back.
Little asterisk.
Thanks for nothing.
Little asterisk. Get one good one, and then you can skip it.
All right, I think I'm up next for the right.
Yeah, speaking of running back, Kev, your third take, hit us with it.
Well, we can't have a pod without a mention of Keyshawn Vaughn, right? So here I am. I saved my third one. I didn't fill it out just to give you guys suspense, and now I finally put it in right before. And Keyshawn Vaughn, RB1. I am so tired of hearing people try to talk about Ronald Jones like he's supposed to be something. But the great part of the whole thing is that Ronald Jones just keeps moving up those ADP, just keeps moving up, and Keyshawn Vaughn keeps moving on down. And I'm like, thank you. About a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, people were getting all mad about, because it was the opposite. Keyshawn Vaughn was going too high and Ronald Jones. And I was like, well, just give it time because, you know, all you truthers out here are going to hype him up and he's going to continue to rise. No way. Ronald Jones, nope. Now here we are, and Ronald Jones is going significantly higher than what Keyshawn Vaughn is in the FFC or FFPC. I'm not here to tell you, Ronald Jones, he's terrible, okay? He's not good. He didn't all of a sudden become a good running back, right? If you can't beat out Peyton Barber, you're not all of a sudden just going to wake up and start being a good running back, which all of a sudden people are. And they, you know, so narrative, whatever. But Keyshawn Vaughn is the truth. He is the real deal. I think he is a solid running back. I think he has the chance to be a top, definitely be. I think there's an possibility that he could be the highest scoring rookie running back this year as well. I still think that probably title goes to probably Jonathan Taylor, but I do think Keyshawn Vaughn has top 12 upside in him. I think he is definitely the pass catching back. That is not something that Ronald Jones does, and I think it wouldn't take much for him to take over that entire backfield and be the three down back. So I like Keyshawn Vaughn a lot. I think Ronald Jones is a bum. I've said it since the beginning. I was shocked when people started coming out and like advocating for Ronald Jones, but I guess it was all the people that were truthers of Ronald Jones when he came out, and they never want to let it go, and so they really should be like Elsa and just let it go, right?
I've been personally victimized by Kevin Steele.
You are welcome,
Robbie. Yeah, I will give you the floor here if you would like to retort.
The floor is still mighty hot. I'm going to sit for this rebuttal here. I think that would actually be a really good bet. I don't know what we put up for stake, but I think a Rojo versus Keyshawn Vaughn is a very even bet if you look at both their ADPs and just some projections that you hit here and there. But I think that would be a really good bet, and that'd be one I'm down to take. But yeah, man, people be sleeping on Rojo. I mean, he had 1,100 yards last year, and they act like he did nothing. Like they treat him like he was his first year, 19-year-old self in the NFL. Like, welcome to the NFL, man. You're 19. We just moved you halfway across the country. Good luck. Did you know if you're not good by the time you turn 20 in the NFL, you'll never be good until your next year when you get 1,100 all-purpose yards. So. No, he was actually good last year.
Was he though?
Yeah.
Was he
4.2 yards per carry behind that trash offensive line, had multiple long runs called back by holding. He actually really produced. And then people say he can't catch. I mean, I don't have it up right in front of me, but I think he had like 30 or 40 targets for 25, 30 receptions. Someone maybe needs to double check me on that, 'cause I do not want to spit lies on this podcast. But yeah, he actually like catches the ball just fine when given the opportunity. So I would say the biggest thing he needs to work on is his pass pro. That is something he definitely struggled with last year, which limited him on the field. And that's where they trusted Peyton Barber more. Peyton Barber is literally just that jag, run-of-the-mill guy. You want to ask him to not fumble, get 3.5 yards, and pass block, he was your guy. And that's why it's crazy. You're like, why did the Redskins sign this guy? It's like he's literally just that guy. You want to not lose the football, get 3.5 yards, pass block. That's your guy. So I know Peyton Barber's a jag. I'm not here to say Rojo.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Couldn't beat him out. You know, he obviously, you know, split time with him, but Roger had plenty of touches, had 1,100 yards. He had a good second year, and now he's going to be 20, 22, I think. So yeah, I'm all in on Rojo. His career is not over by any means. He will outscore Vaughn this upcoming year.
Everything was going so great, and then all of a sudden I find out you're a Ronald Jones truther. And
you know, I thought you had to have known this with your Spitfire tech. I thought Cody had like mentioned something like, hey,
he did not. He did not Vaughn, tell me. I was not prepared for this. Rojo. I thought I was among Keyshawn Vaughn believers. And
I do love Keyshawn Vaughn. Do not get me as saying I do not okay. like Keyshawn Vaughn.
So here, okay. One, his true yards per carry, which is what you should be using, because just the yards per carry encompasses everything. So mm-hmm. he has some, you know, some freak breakaway runs. Once you remove those, he actually had a 3.9 true yard per carry, which was 36. Not great, Bob. And like I said, I'm sorry. If you can't beat out Peyton Barber to be the starting running back in year two, because he didn't even get an opportunity in year one because he was so horrific. And he didn't get an opportunity. Then he comes in last year. Granted, he was not as bad last year, right, as he was obviously the year before, which would have been really tough to be that bad because he got literally very little opportunities, and what he did get was awful. But like I said, like I don't think he's that good. I think he still has a role in this offense. Don't get me wrong. Like I'm not saying I think he's going to not play at all. But I do think that Keyshawn Vaughn is definitely a better running back than Ronald Jones is. And I think that he is going to, by the end of the season, take over that backfield. And he is somebody that I think that gets in that 60% opportunity range.
Yeah, man. Definitely can see that. And like I said, I like Vaughn. I had him above Akers, which Tyler and I went back and forth on, and I'm sure Cody, as the Akers stand probably here, thinks I'm nuts for. And actually, I think we've talked about this, but no, I think Vaughn is great. And I think both of them can be good in this offense. This is an offense that I think will move the football and have a lot of plays. So I'm not rooting against Vaughn by any stretch of the imagination, but second half of the year, Ronald Jones was a running back too. Probably the first to tell you that, but he was an RB2 from weeks 9 to 17, man. He was
an RB2 as in a poop joke, because he was shit. He was an RB poop, is what I would say.
Sounds like I lost the debate there. We just had the judge weigh in.
That was just because, like, I could definitely tell by the way that Kev was delivering that he did not know that you were a Rojo truther. So I was just sitting here just, like, watching these two cars just getting ready to come and collide. That was perfect.
Yeah, I think we need to put that one down on your guys' board. Obviously, this is a Kev versus Cody little board, but maybe a little side scribble, a little asterisk. Kev and Robbie, Rojo versus Keyshawn Vaughn. Maybe they both have to play at least, 12, 13 games, or else it's...
Oh, I cannot wait for this, because I have been, like, this is one of those that, like, I've... Like, last year for me, it was, like, the Chris Godwin, where I was super high on Chris Godwin, and there was all the people that were, like, trashing people that love Chris Godwin and everything and thought that he was going way too high, and I couldn't wait till the end of the year. Like, this is one of those takes that I cannot wait till the end of the year to see how it plays out. So whenever I'm right on Keyshawn Vaughn, I can just snap my nuts right on the table and be like, go fuck yourselves. No. No, that might be a little aggressive.
Good. It feels good when you're right on those, because, yeah. Like, they're – I mean, Keyshawn Vaughn, people are saying he's going way too high in drafts. You have the top five running backs, and he should be going in the second, or, you know. And I've been saying he's a guy that I've gotten in probably three or four leagues. Like, I think he's going to be good. So, yeah, I'm definitely not an anti-Keyshawn Vaughn guy at all.
Well, I've heard some, like, weird takes on him, too. Like, people saying, like, he's not big enough to be a lead back. Like, what? Like, he's almost 200, he's almost 220 pounds? Like, what do you mean he's not big enough to be a lead?
They didn't watch him rush in the SEC against SEC defenses, apparently.
Yeah. Lazy takes.
Hopefully one day I'll be right about something. That must be your...
still waiting.
Yes.
Tyler Boyd.
For my moment. It sounds fun. My last take here before we wrap this up and move on to our double-digit darlings. I don't even know how hot or how bold this is. Like, I don't know. You guys will have to tell me. Maybe I'll have to come up with another one kind of on the spot. But John Brown is going to outscore Stephon Diggs this year in Buffalo. Is that bold? Is that hot? Or is that like...
Yeah, I think that's pretty high. That's a 7 or 8 out of 10. That's
okay.
I mean, you're assuming they're both healthy, right? Like, this is an offense that doesn't pass a lot. It's going to take a lot for the wide receiver two to jump the wide receiver one. Yeah,
I'm actually interested to hear why you believe this, because I think it's kind of ridiculous, but not ridiculous. That's not fair. That's not. See, I'm getting too aggressive tonight. I'm getting too aggressive.
Don't hold back. Just tell him. Just tell him what it is. It's wild.
Well, I don't
stay in that rocking chair, Pappy.
I'm just saying, like Stephon, like if they're kind of similar players, right? They're both deep threats, but like Stephon Diggs is like one of the best, if not the best, deep threat deep ball receivers in the league. And I mean, what else does John Brown do? And now the alpha is here, and so I would have a hard time believing that John Brown is going to be able to beat out Stephon Diggs, barring they both stay healthy.
I think John Brown is a better fit for Josh Allen. As good as Stephon Diggs is, I think he can win deep. I don't necessarily consider him a deep threat. I consider him a
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah,
I mean, you could take this however you want it. You could take it with a grain of salt if you'd like because of the source. But he was PFF's number one graded deep ball receiver last year, Stephon Diggs. Yeah.
He can win deep, but I don't consider him strictly a deep threat receiver.
He's a tactician for sure.
No, he's certainly someone that can do it all. Like yes, like he's not just a one trick pony.
I think last year his A dot was like 15 or something, but the years leading up to that it was like 8, 10, 11. So like,
yeah. Yep.
And Josh Allen is not accurate. That's not going to – we want to talk about quarterbacks that might not be good in the NFL but are good for fantasy. Put Josh Allen in that fucking column. That's the column that he falls into.
Hashtag analysis.
You watch out, though. There's some people – like Evan Silva has him as like an MVP candidate this year. Like there's people that love some Josh Allen. Love him. Have him as a top five quarterback. Love Josh Allen this year.
Yeah, fantasy-wise – fine. Like I can.
I don't see it. I have him as 15. So I'm not in that camp, right? Like, I may be too. That's probably too low considering his rushing ability and everything else that he brings to the table. But anyways, I digress.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how much of a tactician that Stephon Diggs is. Like I think in terms of targets, I don't see Diggs having a massive amount more of targets than John Brown does. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're going to be somewhat similar. And just with what we know Josh Allen is as a passer, his whole thing is he can throw the ball over them, their heels. And I think John Brown is going to fit that better. Do I think that in terms of talent that John Brown is better? Absolutely not. Stephon Diggs is one of the best receivers in the game, bar none, all around. In terms of he can win at every level, tactician, separation, all that shit.
Strong tweet game.
Dude, he also has one of the best sports moments probably in NFL history as well. Okay. So, dude, love me some Stephon Diggs. None of that shit's going to matter with Josh Allen throwing him the ball. So, like I said, I think their targets are going to be fairly similar. The receptions might go more towards Stephon Diggs. But I think the yards and possibly even the touchdowns are going to be on John Brown's side. So I'm going to say that John Brown outscores Stephon Diggs. And John Brown is good, too. Like, if you want to watch somebody who's just, like, fun to watch as a receiver, when healthy, John Brown is one of those guys. I mean, he had, 70-some catches over 1,000 yards last year, six touchdowns. It's still going to be a low-volume offense. I'm not exactly sure where all these targets are going to come from because I don't believe that they have a lot of vacated targets on that offense. So I think that those two kind of just, are going to be fighting for the same amount. I think Cole Beasley is still going to be involved. I don't think he completely goes away. But I just think John Brown is the better fit for this offense. And that's what I have to say about that.
I hard disagree. Hard disagree. But
and we are all dumber for having that.
We all agreed. Would not be nuts on the table if we all
agreed. You get no points. All right, so for like the 37th time over the past 2 months, let's talk about some late round flyers, right? Let's talk about some late round darlings, if you will. How about we do that?
I'm down. Okay.
Yeah, we've done this. We've done this a bunch
time
of
or two.
Ways.
A time or two. Yes,
a time.
We have diced it up. We've sliced it. We've shredded it. We've all every way you can. But we're doing it again because we're for the people, and people love the late round flyers.
Yeah, man, you guys have definitely hit on them with your rankings, and so some of these I don't want to go too far in depth because you guys have just been preaching to the people on some of these guys, and I think that's what makes this pot so good is that you guys are just literally shoving names. Here's our thoughts, shoving names, and so first one I'll hit on is just quickly is Duke Johnson. I know we talked about him a little bit earlier, but David Johnson doesn't have a great track record of being healthy. Duke Johnson balled out last year, 820 total yards as a backup and 5 touchdowns. I mean, just imagine if he gets any starting time. So if that's your floor as a backup, you have the potential to start some games in a Deshaun Watson led offense. I am all in. He's going at ADP 125 in the best ball tens. Next guy, Paris Campbell, ADP of 171. This guy's just crazy low, like insane low. Like Michael Pittman is, I don't know, like just 40 or picks above him. I don't even know what it is exactly, but he's just flying up. And I get it. Like, he's in the new hotness. Paris Campbell was a no-show last year. He pulled a Ronald Jones, so everyone's leaving him for dead. Kev has him pitched off the edge of the earth. He's gone. But he had every injury known to man last year. I think, obviously, Phillip Rivers had an amazing slot guy in Keenan Allen, but he is known for his deep balls to Mike Williams, and he's known for just hitting that slot. So I think Paris Campbell is going to be that slot guy for him. Just a good later round guy to throw on your teams that can be a good PPR asset. Next is Blake Jarwin. We were talking about top 12 tight ends. Blake Jarwin, I think, is a lock for top 12, and I actually wouldn't be afraid to say that he's going to be top 10 or top 8. Jason Witten, 37-year-old Jason Witten, was tight end 12 last year. This is a more athletic Jason Witten. This is a guy that runs deeper routes, has a better ADOT. He's going to get 80-ish targets. Jason Witten had 80 targets last year. Jarwin had like 40. So even not combining all those targets, just giving them the 80 Witten got, he is going to finish above tight end 12. And he's going ADP is 150. I think tight end, he's going like tight end 17 or something like that. So he is just a massive steal for me. Jared Goff, ADP of 143. So this is, everyone saw with Bobby Woods that you only had 2 touchdowns. A lot of that was Jared Goff just not getting in the end zone with his passing touchdowns. He had a 3.7 TD rate. League average like 4.5%. That's going to positively regress. He's going to get back up there. So let's say he had that 4.5 percentage of TD rate last year. He would have jumped from quarterback 13 to quarterback 9 last year. He's going as quarterback 18. So, I mean, if he does as poorly as he did last year, he'll still finish 5 spots better. And if he gets an average touchdown rate, he's going to double where he's going. So that's insanity for me. And then Russell Gage, you guys hit on Russell Gage last time. Nothing else I can say. There's so many targets on offense. He's wide receiver 3, going to get just targeted after Ridley, Julio, Hurst, and some Todd Gurley. But they throw 600-plus times. He's going to get at least 75 targets. And then if there's any injuries, bump him up for more. He's literally free, absolutely free. You get paid money when you draft him.
I don't think people realize how well he played last year, especially down the stretch, because he wasn't like a monster or anything, but he was certainly serviceable down that last part of the season, last, what was it, 5 or 6 game of the season last year. I don't think people really realize that, how much opportunity he got. And so I actually think there's a possibility that he will I don't even know if it, I wouldn't say it's a possibility. I think it's somewhat likely that I think he could actually out-target Hayden Hurst. You have some hesitant, because it's tough with Hayden Hurst, right? Because I like the upside, and I think some of the targets can be there, but I also think that we are somewhat getting caught up as well and just automatically giving him all of the receptions, all the yards that Austin Hooper had last year, which if you go back a few years before that, that really wasn't happening with Austin Hooper, right? This was kind of like, even Austin Hooper's year before that was solid, right? But like, I think it could be a little dangerous for us to just automatically hand Hayden Hurst that role, and like, he's just going to automatically step in and be a top 5 tight end. So, but I think that's what's happened with him. That's why we continue to see him rise up. So I do think there's an opportunity here for Russell Gage, and like you said, he's absolutely free. So I think he is one of the most, if not, he might be the most undervalued guy right now that's going that you can get, because nobody's touching him.
I'll jump in here for my double digit darlings. I liked a lot of those calls, Robbie. There are a lot of guys that we've talked about, and Paris Campbell also a very nice dynasty buy, if I do say so myself. The first guy I'm going to touch on here, Jalen Reagor, wide receiver one in dynasty, going to be the wide receiver one in terms of rookie performance in 2020 for your redraft leagues as well. He's going late, and I that's not one that I necessarily understand either. There's a lot of talk about a bounce back year for Carson Wentz, and who's outside of the tight ends, who else is going to give Carson Wentz the production to get him up into the top five quarterback range? Miles Sanders, we love him. He's going to be involved, but you're not going to run that. He's not going to be a Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, to where he's going to return you high end wide receiver two kind of production. Jalen Reagor is also, he's going way undervalued. I love him this year. Someone that I briefly touched on earlier, Eric Ebron, with an ADP of 164, and all this is according to Best Ball 10's ADP since the beginning of the month. Again, that the late tight end strategy is certainly viable if you're going to pass on the top three, top four, because after that you can kind of poke holes in a bunch of those guys. Again, it's a question of what do you feel super confident in with the Steelers? You have Juju. I know a lot of people are high on Deontay Johnson. I can't fully buy into that yet. James Washington, Chase Claypool. I mean, maybe Chase Claypool beats out Eric Ebron for that tight end role because that's where he should be playing anyway. But if they put Claypool on the outside, let him be that Plaxico Burress kind of just big body X receiver, and just let him, you go line up on the outside and just run down the field and open things up for Juju. Outside of that, I think we could see Eric Ebron with a 8 to 10 kind of touchdown year, and if he gets that, I mean that basically puts him as a lock for a tight end one season, like regardless of how many catches and yards he has. So he's someone that I'm super interested as far as a late round tight end goes. The guy that I was touching on earlier when Kev brought up Minshew is one of his nuts on the table takes. Laviska Shenault, again, you look around with these late guys, I'm looking for upside and finding a path to relevancy, right? So you take a look around the Jags receiver room. It's DJ Chark. And then what?
Like Keelan Cole, you watch your mouth.
Oh my God. There it is, Robbie. If you wanna jump in on this one.
Kev, is Keelan Cole gonna make the Jags roster after August? Is he going to be on the team?
Why would he not? So okay, let's break this down. So yeah, I mean,
it's about to go an hour and a half. By the way,
it's clearly DJ. It's clearly Chark, right? And then it's DD Westbrook, right? Who's the number three? Is it Chris Conley? Probably, but it's definitely Keelan Cole. All right, Keelan Cole is. We need to let that man cook, right? He came out of nowhere. They need to let him go. Let's send him somewhere else. Get Keelan Cole can cook, right? Like, he is a much better wide receiver than what you guys are giving him credit for. Like, I think he is somebody that is going to go to a second roster, go to a second team, and explode. I am a Keelan Cole fan.
You almost hope he gets cut, because when he goes to a roster that's not as full, I think he has a better chance, but he's wide receiver five right now on that team. And so I think that you just hit it right there. If he gets cut, I like him a lot more.
Laviska Shenault is going to do what Kev only dreams of Keelan Cole doing. The last guy I'm going to throw out here, someone else who's absolutely free, Ito Smith. Again, that's not a situation that worked out great last year, right? Like, I don't think Ito Smith is a special talent by any means, but I think he's better than fucking Quadre Olsen and Brian Hill. And if I don't think that Todd Gurley is cooked, but I'm also definitely not going to be putting any bets down as far as him staying healthy for 13, 14 games. So if he goes down for any period of time, he has an ADP of Ito Smith. This is has an ADP of 237. Again, completely free. You're shooting for upside with these late round guys. And Ito Smith was definitely the running back that the Falcons preferred. He was the first man up whenever Freeman went down. He got hurt himself, and that's why we saw some of those other guys being involved. They obviously, I don't know, maybe if they brought someone in as a UDFA or anything, but outside of Gurley, obviously, I don't think they added too much to that depth chart either. So I think if Gurley goes down, Ito Smith is going to get the first crack. And with everything that we've laid out with the Falcons offense so far through the several pods this offseason, through the pod today, Ito Smith could be stepping into a really nice situation if Gurley were to miss any time whatsoever.
Yeah, man. Love some of those takes. I think the first one you hit on with Jalen Reagor is becoming more fruitful by the day, right? With the DeSean Jackson stuff that came out yesterday, I believe it was. Marquise Goodwin jumping in and saying a little bit here. Like, who knows if anything even happens with that. But, I mean, like you said, like it's Alshon who's going to start the year on the pup, and then D-Jax is up in the air now. So where's Reagor fitting in there? You know, probably a starting wide receiver come week one. So definitely love that take.
How much more longer are we going to be chasing a Pittsburgh Steeler tight end? Like, you could go back quite a ways, right? Remember Ladarius? Does anybody remember Ladarius Green? Does anybody remember that?
The hype of
Ladarius Green. I mean, I remember that year because it was him. And then who went to who was the dude that went to the Saints that same year? It was – oh, my God. Why is this going to bother me? Who was the – there was the other tight end that signed same time. There was a lot of hype on from the Saints. He signed with the Saints, and he signed
– Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It starts with a C. I'll find it. Colby's – I'll think
of Fleener. Fleener.
Is that Kobe who it was?
Fleener.
Yeah. Okay. But anyways, but it was Ladarius Green. So much hype on Ladarius Green whenever he signed. Didn't work out. And then it was who next? Vance McDonald. Uh-oh. Here comes Vance. Vance is going to be the savior. What happened? Nothing. And now we're excited about Eric Ebron. Who knows?
We're excited. Dude, his ADP is like 164. As far as a late round tight end, you can
I'm talking about you. You're trying to get the people hyped on another Steelers. Okay, let them.
If you're allowed to talk about Keelan Cole, I can talk about fucking Eric Ebron.
No, you can't. Okay, them the rules. All right. He should have broken out a long time ago if he hasn't by now. Anyways, if you want to talk about a Steeler that's going to break out, let's talk about Anthony McFarland that you fail to get on board with. Anthony McFarland is the real deal. He's the truth, okay? James Conner is made of Charmin toilet paper. Can never – yes, there you go. Take away your screen because you're not allowed to talk anymore. Anthony McFarland, I think that at the very least has a role in this offense. At the very least is the pass catching back, but I think he's much more than that. I know people have tried to say that he can't be a pass catching back or a three down back. He's not big enough, okay? He's not big enough. Like, I get that. This is it's ridiculous, okay? He is certainly big enough. He's just as big as some of these other running backs, like Aaron Jones type running back. I think he can handle a workload of 15, 18 touches per game. So, once James Conner goes down, which is inevitable that he will, then I think Anthony McFarland is a dynamic. He actually, of all running backs last year, had the most yards created per Graham Barfield. So there's lots to like with the profile of Anthony McFarland. I think that he certainly would be the running back to own. There's just people that like Benny Snell. I don't know what's wrong with those people. And then some of the other guys are like Sterling Shepard, right? Like, I think Sterling Shepard's kind of the forgotten man here. Now, there is obviously Evan Ingram. If he can stay healthy, Darius Slayton, who I like. But, I mean, if you look at Sterling Shepard last year, he was 25th in fantasy points per game. He averaged 8.5 targets per game, nearly 60 receiving yards. He had three touchdowns. But, I mean, yes, he had the concussion issue. But, I mean, if he can stay healthy, there's a lot to like with Sterling Shepard. He's going, like, the 12th, 13th round. So, I think that's a little bit too late. Like, he's somebody that I feel like they could probably go where Darius Slayton is going, to be honest with you. But I like Sterling Shepard as kind of that late round kind of security blanket. I think Josh Reynolds is somebody that we're kind of all sleeping on. If you really like Jared Goff, which I think this Ram offense kind of bounces back this year and comes much more closer to the Rams offense we saw a couple of years ago. I don't think this defense is going to be very good, despite having, Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald, that, you know, on that side of the football. But I don't think this defense as a whole is going to be very good at all. I think they're going to have to throw the ball. And so we've seen it before. They can support three wide receivers on this team. And so I think Josh Reynolds is kind of that late round flyer that people should be taking a look at now that they've traded away Brandon Cooks, because who else is there? He's certainly going to get plenty of opportunity. And I know people have kind of forgotten about him because he hasn't really ever taken off. But I think Josh Reynolds is kind of an interesting name to kind of monitor, maybe take a shot on late in drafts. And then the other one for me would be Jonnu Smith. I've already talked about. Dude's going to be – he's a lock to be a top five tight end. People should already have him ranked a top five tight end. I don't know why he's not yet. I think there's a possibility he outscores A.J. Brown, to be honest with you. I think he could end up outscoring A.J. Brown this year. I know a lot of people love A.J. Brown. I'm not nearly as high on A.J. Brown as other people are. I think A.J. Brown's good, but – I don't know. I think he regresses a little bit. I don't think he's nearly as efficient as he was last year. But Jonnu Smith is an absolute monster, I think. And we saw last year, they even lined him up as a running back last year. But the dude's an athletic freak. I think that he gets somewhere in the range of probably 100, 110 targets this year in this offense. I think this offense throws a lot more than what they want to. I know this is a team that wants to be a run-first offense, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I think this defense is another defense that's not very good. And I think they're going to have to rely on Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball, which is probably not a very good idea either. But I think that's the situation we're heading towards. So I like Jonnu Smith as a late round tight end. And that's all I got.
Woo. Hell yeah, Kev. Woo. Way to finish that out. A little Sterling Shepard.
Pretty sure that was all forgotten man.
That was good. I liked the Sterling Shepard, man. That guy, when he's out there, which again, we talk about half these guys, they can stay healthy, but that guy's out there, he's the wide receiver to own. I know Slayton had some great deep catches, and that's something that's going to regress. But yeah, certainly Shepard, I think, is the wide receiver to own if healthy.
We might as well just get a drop at the beginning of all the shows, like, disclaimer, all the takes you're about to hear are if healthy.
Right. Right.
Just so we don't have to keep saying it.
Well,
dudes, that was fun. That was good. Robbie, you have any last parting shots? Anything you want to get off your chest while you're here? Anything else you want to go at Kev for? Any other bets you want to place? The floor is yours, sir.
No, guys, really appreciate you guys bringing me in. This was a good little trio here. Good topic, good back and forth. Like I said before, you guys are kind of unique in that it's not just, I like this guy. Yeah, I like him too. Next guy. I like kind of the back and forth. You guys do a good job with that. So, happy to jump in, talk a little bit of late guys and some nuts on the table, which is always a pleasure. So like we said earlier, kind of keep those selective, take your shots with care. So get a board, write them on the cell phone, whatever, because I'd love to revisit this in 365 days for sure.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Yes, I definitely agree. We need to reel them in. And I could be wrong here, but I think our host, Cody, did he ask you or promote anything that's where you're at or anything like that besides just throwing out your Twitter name? Because that's what you do with the guests. You'd be like, hey, why don't you tell us all the stuff you're doing? What site do you work for? Whatever. Where can people find your work? No, Cody just went right through it.
I did not. So if you're gonna come and swing at me, you better pay attention to the beginning of it, because I did say over at Dynasty Happy Hour.
I don't remember hearing that.
Yeah, because you don't pay attention to me. You don't listen to me anymore.
Sounds like an angry wife or something like that. Like, you're never home. You never pay attention. When you are home, you're out there playing with your video games or watching your foosball. Like, you don't ever pay attention to me anymore.
Your foosball, for sure.
Every time I look over, you're just looking at the Fantasy Authority YouTube channel. You don't even pay. I feel like we're so close and we're so far away.
But yeah, you guys can find me at Dynasty Happy Hour. Do some ranking over there. Understand kind of your guys' thankfulness of being done with ranking, because once you're finished with that bear, it's like, okay, I don't want to touch these for 3 months. But sadly, news is ever changing. So do a little bit of that, and then just dove into projections. Like I said earlier, I started doing that this year. Talked to a couple of guys in the industry. You know, John Bauer has been a lot of help, kind of getting me going, Jordan Richards. So that's a project I hope to finish up here in July, have all the teams done, and then kind of tweak as I go. But it's really eye-opening stuff. You can kind of putting numbers down and seeing where they actually fall. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm working on.
Are you going to be putting those projections out anywhere?
And as Kev said, these are mine. These are for me. They're right here. No, I'll throw them out for whoever wants to read and ridicule whatever might happen. But yeah, I think probably just, you know, a couple of tweets with some screenshots here and there. Nothing too fancy, but it's been a fun process. So whether they're accurate or not, it'll be fun to kind of see how they end up after 2020.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, God bless you for putting on all that time. Okay, yeah. God bless you, because ain't nobody got time for that. You know, like it's enough a task to try to put together rankings and do all that stuff. So, can I get your opinion on a dynasty startup trade? Yes, you can, Ooh. Travis. Yes, you can. Hey,
hit us with it. In the meantime, but yeah, man, we had a speaking of the TFA YouTube channel, we had a comment on our Henry Ruggs video. Someone jumped in and said, for a sports page, you guys just really talk out of your ass. So Robbie, good for you for putting all that work into projections. Me and Kev just go into the Fantasy Pros thing. We click some names around and then we make what, six pods out of it.
Yep.
So you guys are doing the work. Me and Kev are just out here just blindly clicking on shit, and we're like, oh.
If I have learned anything though from that Henry Ruggs video, is, which I should have already have known this from being a Chiefs fan, is that if you say anything negative about a Raider, any Raider, it doesn't matter who it is, you will get the wrath of God come brought down upon you for doing something like that. Because that video, that one video, has gotten a lot of views, but we've gotten like 11 thumbs down on that one, because people are just so upset with the fact that we weren't at the time as high on Henry Ruggs. And we did it before the Raiders even draft him. Like, that's the funny part. Like, I think we did that show in like February with Jesse Reeves, and we were talking about him, and they did not appreciate.
Yeah, that one, he started off as a divisive prospect in that YouTube video and all the cut, like, because I think, like you said, I think it's been like 13 thumbs up and like 11 down, and like the comments have been the same, like people being like, yep, not touching him. And then like the very next one is, you guys are fucking idiots, he's a baller, what are you talking about? And then it'll go back to like, yeah, like I'm not touching him. So that one's been really fun every time I see the notification on the YouTube channel and something coming in for the Ruggs video. But Travis Thompson is kicking it with us in the YouTube chat. His startup question in a dynasty startup, his trade was, give the 104 and the 1009, receive 210, 503, 703, and a 2021 third round rookie pick. And this is for a 12 team Superflex tight end premium league. Dude, I really struggle with moving around in startups. I really do. If there's anything I've learned from the trade offers I've sent out in startups, the response has never been good for me personally. Just looking at this, I'll give my quick thoughts and I'll let you jump in, Robbie. Man, dropping from the 104 down to the 210. And a super, like the Superflex obviously is going to push some talent down, but going from the 104 to the 210 just seems like a big drop. Obviously, that's nice picking up the 503, the 703, which is going to go undervalued. The 2021 third doesn't really do anything for me in this particular trade. That's a little further than I would feel comfortable dropping back. Robbie, what do you think? Do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it's pretty vague until you put names to that, and that's what always happens. And I think that's how you win in a lot of these trades. So I definitely advocate to people that when you are in startups that you try these things, because when they're a bunch of picks and whatnot, and you throw in four of them, it's just super confusing, and people don't take the time to actually like, okay, what is this actually like? The 104, you're talking about one of these top four guys. CMC's probably gone, Mahomes is probably gone, but you're talking about Barkley, Lamar, Zeke, Kamara. So you're talking about a top four dynasty asset. So that's pretty good, right? But then you go down to like the 20 range, which is roughly where the 210 is. And now you're talking Miles Sanders, Chris Godwin, CEH, Josh Jacobs. And then you pop down to the 503. That's roughly around the 50, 51. So then you're talking about Calvin Ridley, Courtland Sutton. So you talk about a Sutton and CEH for Lamar. And that's where I start to kind of piece those together. Would you do, you know, Courtland Sutton and who else I said, Miles Sanders or whoever for Lamar? And that's kind of, I don't know, like I'm just pulling people's names out. So it's not exactly that. You might like certain players better, so you can't always just do straight that player. But I try and kind of put different players together. I'd say you should try and get more. Like the 104 is a top, like once you get past like those top four guys, there's a little, maybe six guys, there's a teardrop. And then you have the rest of the first and early second, and then there's another teardrop. So like even though the 104 looks so close to the 210, it's like probably two or three tiers, in my opinion, difference in a dynasty startup. So I would, it's probably close to fair, but I'd try and get more.
Yeah, the name thing is a good point to make too. Once you start putting in names instead of just the picks, that can if someone, you know, for whatever reason falls all the way to 210, like this could look like a brilliant mm-hmm. trade at the end of it. But like I said, just looking at it on the surface, like Superflex is definitely going to help. Depending on what the tight end premium is, and depending on the people that you are drafting with, they might take that tight end premium and go too far with it. Like I'm kind of on the side of John Bosch here as yep. far as tight end premium goes. Like it's going to make the valuable guys more valuable. Like it doesn't really do too much. Like depending on what the premium is, it's not going to do too much to vault, you know, an Eric Ebron up into like, you know what I mean? That for me, that's not going to bump his ADP up. And in terms of where I want to draft him anyway. But if you're with some guys who are a little newer to Dynasty, see that tight end premium, think it's going to make a huge difference. It's just going to make those top three, four guys be more valuable. And then that, like the gap in between them is still going to be just as big. So like for me, like I said, I think that's just a little further than what I would feel comfortable. But then that also goes into another point of, it also depends on what your goal is in this startup. If your goal is just to like continue picking up more assets and to pick up more, you know, rookie picks for the next couple of years, by all means trade out. But it's still in that case, I'd want to pick up a couple high, like if that 2021 third was a like if that was a second, Robbie, would that make you change your mind any further?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the quarters, four quarters to a dollar mindset. Like maybe just get rid of the 2021 third, get rid of the 703. Maybe you have to do something with the 503, but just asking for a 2021 first and the second, and giving back the first in your ninth or something like that. And then, I mean, it obviously depends on your strategy, and I think that was a great point. So if you're like, you know what, I'll move down, I won't get the super stud, I'll kind of build depth here, get a 210, which, you know, there's going to be a couple of teardrops, but then pick up a 2021 first who can turn into, you know, a good rookie later down the road. So I think there's a lot of ways you can do this, but I definitely try and avoid getting the four quarters back for you trading the dollar, like, because three of those guys won't pan out, and then you'll just have 25 cents for your dollar. And so I definitely try and get back a highly coveted asset, which are firsts. Future firsts are always highly coveted, and they gain value the longer the season goes, right when you hit playoffs. And then the season's over, that just shoots up in value. So get that cheap while you can now, because it's so far in the distance, people are devaluing that. They'll probably trade your first a lot easier than they would. And then, yeah, try and keep high up in these startups, because the lower you get, there's just multiple teardrops that you won't see in rookie drafts later. So because you're obviously drafting with the entire league.
Then the other thing to note here, as far as, you know, whatever your goal is for your draft, also – your starting requirements. If it's just like a start five or six, you want the studs. If you're in, you know, starting like 11 or something like that, that trade would look a lot better to me. You know what I mean? If you were in like a deep league, in a deep flex league, something yeah. like that, deep benches, that would make more sense, because those picks are going to become more valuable in terms of your starting roster. So that was a good question, Travis. Really appreciate you jumping in and asking that. You boys have, Kev, you've been kind of sitting there quiet, just sitting there, just rocking the night away. You have anything you want to end here with? Okay.
No, appreciate Robbie coming on. It was a lot of fun. We'll have to have you on again sometime. Thank you, Travis, for the question. Really appreciate that. If you ever had any questions, oh, I saw a comment. I was like, oh, what is it? What is it? I want to. I'm a man of the people here. All right. So, but no, I got nothing else. Just like I said, oh, we do have some shirts that we got coming out. We're going to be doing some shirts here soon, finalizing the deal, if you will, of what they're going to look like and everything else. So we'll put out some details on that here in the next week.
Yeah, we'll definitely do some giveaways with that. So be sure to keep your eyes peeled across all the social media platforms. With that in mind, slam that subscribe button, crush that like. Robbie, he kind of, called me out for this right before the show with always saying the like and subscribe thing. So I'm going a different route. Slam the button, crush the button, do all that. Just don't, you're not just going to hit the like and subscribe, smash it, crush it.
Yeah, if you're interested in winning championships, do that. Smash that son of a bitch, because we're winning championships here, boys. Woo, let's go.
And with that, thank you guys for joining us, and be sure to drop in and check us out in the future, and we will see you guys later.
We hope you enjoy your stay. It's good to have you with us, even if it's just for the day. We hope you enjoy your stay. Outside the sun is shining, seems like heaven ain't far away. It's good to have you with us.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.